You are flying high with Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis, brought to you by LockedOnEagles.com. I am your host, Michael Kist of Inside the Pylon, Breaking Football and Grandstand Sports Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist, that's K-I-S-T, as always. I am joined by the best co-host in the game, Mr. 7-Year Streak Without a Bad Day. He is Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak, that's S-O-L-A-K, Ben. How you doing, brother?
Oh, every day is a good day to be alive, my friend. I'm always well. I'm enjoying this trade deadline mad rush. I love trades. Like, I was that kid who, like, when I started a Madden franchise, it was okay. Time to move every single piece I have at obscenely ridiculous rates. This is fun, and it's especially fun when you know your team has the potential to be active, because you never know what's around the corner.
Yeah, I agree. It is a fun time, especially with Howie Roseman at the helm. You never know what's going to happen with him. So let's get into the main course of the show today. Later, we're going to be doing game time decisions and pick a prospect. So we've got a full show here, but by Tuesday, 4 p.m., we're going to know whether or not the Eagles decide to hold serve or make a move to improve our playoff chances in a year of honestly unexpected deep playoff run expectations. So this is going to be an interesting balancing act where Howie Roseman will need to weigh short-term solutions against long-term plans and hopefully find a combination of both as we look to improve our roster or don't. Who knows what'll happen? That being said, trade news is like ice cream. And usually when you hear me say something is ice cream, I'm referring to it being hard in this case. I mean, whatever we say here will melt fairly rapidly, and we will do our best to add instant reactions to the back end of the show before its publication if a trade happens after we're done talking here, or release a new show if there is already this show released so as to not to be too dated with our information. So just keep an eye on it. We know this may get outdated real quick, but we're going to try our best to keep you with the current news. So this is obviously a very fluid situation, especially with Howie Roseman involved. So thank you for bearing that in mind. And look, we're not talking to you live. We're rather conveying the mood of the moment in which we are speaking. So last thing before we continue, for Howie's reputation as a mover and a shaker, he hasn't made a deadline trade since 2013. So history works both ways with him in regard to his willingness to execute a midnight deal. And now look, we've already had one deal happen. Dwayne Brown to the Seahawks for Jeremy Lane, a 2018 fifth-round pick and a 2019 second-round pick. Ben, we were talking about the show about the potential impact this could have on the market. What do you think this does to a potential tackle trade?
It's interesting because, number one, Dwayne Brown is in such a curious situation, under such curious circumstances, because he held out in the beginning of the year and the Texans weren't willing to extend him, which makes you wonder what that front office thought about him intrinsically. You know, if he's a franchise sort of a dude or not, you know, they're not extending him. So, you know, he's clearly, there's debate there. The other thing that makes it a little bit curious is the fact that it's Seattle and you don't really know where Seattle is at as far as their offensive line evaluations go. You know, they've always had a very curious approach to how to deploy people on their offensive line. You know, I made the joke that you know, Seattle's very excited to bring in Dwayne Brown because he's going to make a great nose tackle for them, you know, because Seattle's always just kind of moved these pieces around both of their offensive and defensive lines with what seems to us, you know, kind of without rhyme or reason. But the other thing you have to consider there is I think Seattle's pushing very, very hard in 2017. You know, we saw the trade for Sheldon Richardson. You know, we see now this move for Dwayne Brown. They don't have a second round pick in this upcoming draft or in next upcoming draft as well because of all the moves that they've made. So it's very clear that they're making a significant personnel push. And so they may have been willing to overpay a little bit. Now, by the exact same token, Philadelphia may be in similar shoes in the sense that they feel like they can make a push this year. That, you know, they've been playing great with a good left tackle. So if you just, you know, refill that gap or and anything, then maybe Philadelphia is willing to overpay a little bit as well. As far as targets go, it's curious. And you don't really know if they're targeting a starting left tackle or just improved depth. Because right now, behind Vitae and Lane Johnson, you've got Taylor Hart and Isaac Sabolo. Like, that's a guard and a defensive tackle. That's less than ideal. Tackle and running back are the two spots I could see the Eagles potentially making moves. I think if they don't move for a big style tackle, I think that they'll probably try to pick up depth somewhere off the waiver wire or something.
So let's talk about if they are to go with a starting tackle, they're probably looking at Cordy Glenn, the tackle for the Bills. Now, the Bills sent shockwaves around the league when they dealt defensive tackle Marcell Dareus to the Jaguars for a sixth round pick that can bump up to a fifth round pick if conditions conditions are met. Then they open the door for a Glenn trade, but make no mistake, the Darius salary dump, he was playing a third of the snaps on that team, third most of all their defensive tackles. He had off-field issues with the team. There was a lot of different aspects to that, and he had probably the worst contract in the NFL. Yeah. We've griped about the Vinnie Curry contract. Marcel Darius had a terrible contract. Yeah. So the Jaguars are banking on him making a bounce back. The Bills wanted to get rid of that contract because they lose significantly more dead money in the offseason if they cut him, or if they cut him this season as well. Also, the Glenn trade is not going to be a salary dump, and the Bills have made that pretty clear. Mm-hmm. And it could require significant capital to bring him in the building. So Glenn carries a cap hit for the Bills of $14.2 million with a $9 million base salary. That's for the next 2 years. He gets $9 million each year. So pretty close to what Dwayne Brown was getting. And the Eagles have, what, $5 million in cap room. So we would need to move some things around, kind of like the Seahawks are going to have to do now. So, Ben, I like Glenn. Mm-hmm. But again, the contract is foreboding, and with the Cardinals potentially in the mix, do we A, have the capital, both cash and otherwise, to get this done, and B, is that capital worth expending?
Yeah, so I think when it comes to the capital that it would take to get a player like Cordy Glenn, yes, we do. It's going to cost something. You know, it's not like the Eagles have a significant plethora of just pieces lying around. Trade, you got to give something up to get something. That's the reality. The Eagles have a talented roster. They've got, you know, depth in enough areas. They've got, you know, you could easily find a trade partner for somebody like Trey Burton, or, you know, Michael Kendricks has always been discussed and his value's never been higher. If the front office doesn't see long-term plans for Kendricks, we know that I think they'd be willing to move them. I think that, you know, it's funny because I think another place would be safety, and I think even another place could potentially be cornerback. Now the Eagles kind of have a surplus of talent there. The problem is they've already made a couple of trades and moves with the Bills in those positions, so I don't know if they're going to be moving back in that regard. Right, Cordy Glenn would be a guy where if you, barring a significant restructure of his contract, which would be very unlikely, then you're at the point where you're saying Jason Peters is no longer in our plans. Cordy Glenn is the left tackle of our future, period, right? That's the commitment you have to make if it comes to Cordy Glenn.
Which from a business decision makes sense, but from the optics of it looks pretty awful. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't think the locker room would respond terribly well to that. And I also don't think... I think that Philadelphia would much rather prefer, given their current cap situation, to draft a left tackle of the future and have that ease on the books for the next, you know, foreseeable 2019 and 2020. One of the reasons why Buffalo feels potentially okay with moving Cordy Glenn is because they have a lot of people in their offensive tackle room right now. So they've got Jordan Mills starting across from him at right tackle, who they're going to keep. Mills has been playing fine. Deion Dawkins was their second round pick, who's their swing tackle. He plays guard as well. He's their backup. Behind Dawkins on the depth chart is Central Henderson. Now, Central Henderson, who right now for Buffalo is relatively cheap. He's in the final year of his rookie deal with Buffalo. And he'd be less than a $1 million cap hit as of right now. He has started for them before, but they moved on from him. They didn't like the way that he was playing. So he's a guy that kind of, you know, potentially could use a fresh start. He's also a guy who's going to come in, and I don't know where he is relative to Vitae, but he can provide depth if Vitae's better, and he has starting experience if Vitae isn't. So it's a little bit like bringing in two Vitae's. You know, it's like, you know, I wouldn't say in any way he's much better than Big V is, but he does give you the depth that you're looking for, the starter experience that you're looking for. So, you know, if they're talking with Buffalo, don't be surprised if Central Henderson's name is one that comes up.
Yeah, especially with needing a depth piece. And look, I mean, Fran Duffy on Twitter today was putting up videos of the way Vitae played against the 49ers, and outside of that one sack, he played really well. And I think Eagles fans are underestimating how good or how much the Eagles like Vitae inside the building. So we're actually going to go to some names at running back that could be interesting that we might be looking at. Obviously, Carlos Hyde, and Ben, I'll have you give your pitch for him in a second, as I know this is something that we would both be on board for. We've talked about it before on here. But aside from former Eagles running back and current Patriot Deion Lewis, who I heard is being shopped, the other sneaky one that isn't getting too much chatter is Colts running back Frank Gore.
You mean running back Frank Gore?
To be at one point. Yeah, he probably comes at an extremely affordable price, and he is by a wide margin a better pass protector than any of the current running backs that we have on the roster. Additionally, I watched him over the summer for Scouting Academy, and I'll tell you, as a ball carrier, he's fantastic for the first 4 yards, and to quote Boosie, has no juice after that, which is why the Colts brought in Marlon back to bring some explosiveness. But like I said, he's an upgrade in pass pro, which is a big bonus for me. And honestly, would you rather have him or would you rather have Corey Clement?
As far as pass protecting goes, I'd absolutely rather
as far as overall.
I mean, I'm starting to drink the Corey Clement juice, man. He's been playing pretty well. And I mean, I don't know, like, you know, this is like that classic example of, you know, if a guy's got a fire under him, he just does good work. You know what I mean? Like, he's been making good plays, you know, and he looks spry. He looks juicy. I don't really think you move away from the young running back in that regard.
What about Wendell Smallwood, who can never stay healthy? Do you think we'd maybe try to trade him?
No, that's where I was going to go with this, because very interestingly, against San Francisco, Smallwood was, you know, handily, it seemed, phased out of the game plan. You know, mm-hmm. there were multiple people who, you know, just kind of watching on Twitter were saying, where's Wendell Smallwood right now? Whether it was for, you know, fantasy reasons or for otherwise. But in a game where the rain was bad, so the weather was poor, and you kind of anticipated that the Eagles were going to run the football a lot, you saw 16 carries for LeGarrette Blount.
Early, too.
Early as well, right? Now, Corey Clement had 10. More than a few of those came on that final drive where they were just eking out the clock. But Wendell Smallwood had one carry for 5 yards. Wendell Smallwood had one catch for 9 yards. As we've heard me say in this podcast many times before, I want them to give Smallwood consistent touches, because it's very hard to tell what you have with the running back without giving him consistent touches. But they haven't done that. And it doesn't seem like, you know, when Sproles went down, we all said, okay, this is the time for Wendell Smallwood to prove what he's got. And there's just been nothing. You know, second year running back, it's hard to say, but I don't think this front office sees much of a future with Wendell Smallwood. As far as right now. Yeah. Otherwise, I think they'd be getting him playing time. You can afford it against San Francisco when you're up by 21, right? But instead it goes to Corey Clement. I think that looking that direction where you've lost Sproles, it doesn't seem like Smallwood is giving you what you want. You don't have a lot of zip right now at the running back position. Mm. You don't have a lot of burst. You don't have a lot of kind of big play breaking off ability, unless it's LeGarrette Blount breaking four tackles. That's why I'm interested in Carlos Hyde. And if you were to ask me, all right, give one potential trade that I think could possibly happen for sure, mine would be Carlos Hyde. He's incredibly low on the cap. I know that he's been a little bit injury prone. He's in the last year of his deal, though. So very similar to LeGarrette Blount. This is just a guy that you bring in for this year, right? He's $1.1 million on the cap. That'd be his cap hit, which is lower than Frank Gore's is, by the way.
Mm.
And San Francisco drafted Joe Williams in the third round and then brought in Matt Breida as an undrafted free agent. And Breida on tape, man, looks good. Like, that was one of the main things I was seeing from my film review before the game, was that they work in Breida for a ton of snaps for an undrafted free agent. He's incredibly twitchy. I feel very comfortable saying that front office would be fine moving away from Carlos Hyde. And I think that in limited reps, you're going to keep him healthy here in Philadelphia. And I think he can provide a lot of the juice that you're missing between Sproles and Smallwood.
Yeah, I agree. Look, if I'm taking my pick, I'm definitely taking Hyde over Gore. Just wanted to throw another name out there. I think people that listen to this show know that we are very high on bringing Hyde into the building. So that'll be awesome if that happens. We'll see what happens. It's also of note that on Monday, the Eagles worked out former Ravens linebacker Danelle Ellerbe. He has a connection with Joe Douglas, if I'm not mistaken. I like this as a dart throw, but a lot of it is likely dependent on his medical status, and is really just a move to improve linebacker depth. Other news, we might have a decision on Ezekiel Elliott and his injunction. Anyway, we'll see what happens with that. Ben, do you have anything to add as far as potential trade partners, the linebacker depth, or the ongoing Ezekiel Elliott saga?
No, I mean, don't overreact to, you know, workouts on Tuesdays or Mondays or whatever. You gotta, as a front office, you have to constantly check in with the free agent market and see who's up to snuff in the event that you have an injury, especially once the trade deadline is passed. That's your only pool into which to dip besides the practice squad. So
yeah, and if you don't have tape on them, like the Eagles are gonna have grades and whatnot for pretty much every player in the league somewhere in their scouting department. If there's a player that hasn't played in a while, like for instance maybe Calvin Johnson, you bring him in for a workout and you see where they're at. But Calvin Johnson, we said it was a no-go. I'm starting to hear whispers that the Jags might be interested as well. Are you hearing this?
I mean, what do we say about this? Like, that's the thing. Like, any sort of airtime we give to this, it just feels facetious. It feels not real, right? Like, I'm imagining, like, Calvin in 81 in Midnight Green is just too much for me. I love Calvin Johnson so much. I love the way he plays. I love everything about him. At this point, I don't
want to sound silly for giving it credence, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I'm totally fine with saying it won't happen and being 100% wrong if it does,
right? Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay. let's kick it over to
Game Time Decisions.
If you haven't heard this before, Game Time Decisions is our segment where me and Ben just shoot each other random questions. We haven't prepped beforehand, so this is straight off-the-cuff answers. It's either football-related or otherwise. After this, we're going to hit our pick a prospect section, but let's get it to Game Time Decisions. When it comes to offensive tackles, Ben, would you rather have arm length or foot quickness?
Oof. I spit in the face of measurables in the sense that,
nice.
You know, it's tough because, I'll put it to you this way, in general, it's arm length because that's the trait where with 2 or 3 years of coaching, maybe I can get you a little bit, you know, I can make you a little bit better, a little bit higher ceiling. But if we're talking at the elite level, what matters, it's going to be foot quickness in the sense that you, if a guy has that ideal foot speed, that ideal foot technique, I should add as well, like kind of that entire picture, then he can solve the problem with his arms. He can. Like, right. You know, as long as he has regular human-sized arms, not little nubs, like he's going to be fine, right? So kind of, you know, it's kind of a cheating answer because it goes both ways. But really, it's if a guy's got like incredible foot speed and foot technique, then he's going to be fine if his arms are, you know, a little bit undersized.
Yeah, it's got to be one or the other. All right, Ben, hit me with it.
Okay, so you can only have 5 apps on your phone. What are the 5 apps?
Oh, man.
This question reveals a lot about a man. It really does.
5 apps. I'm going to go with Twitter, yeah, number one.
Crucial.
I am going to go with my podcast app, Podcast Republic, because I listen to about 6 to 7 hours worth of podcasts a day. And you should do the same with Locked On Eagles and other shows on the Locked On Network.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Go with FanDuel.
All right.
Playing a lot of FanDuel lately. ESPN Fantasy and NFL Mobile. I mean, what does that tell you about me?
Yeah, so Michael has, like, you know, doesn't want to be able to call anybody or Google anything or text anyone. Michael just needs football and then fantasy football and then more fantasy football. And that's about it.
I mean, I could replace NFL Mobile, but not really, dude. Like, I mean, Chrome could replace a lot of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I could do FanDuel on Chrome, but if we're just talking straight apps, that's what I'm talking about.
No, I feel you. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right, after another week of weird NFL action, which team in the NFC scares you the most?
I literally just tweeted this. After the Brown trade, I mean, it was already Seattle. Seattle was already my you know, pick for the Super Bowl. Talking with Stephen Lee, who's a great guy, a good follow on Twitter about this, because I said Seattle was the team of which I was the most scared, and he was like, oh, you know, I'm worried about playing the Saints. Seattle's got that trifecta of things that worry you in the playoffs. They've got an insane gamer at quarterback who just did, you know, if he's on, he's unstoppable. Yeah. They've got all the experience of being in the playoffs. You know, you got head coach Pete Carroll, who's been there, you know, Russell Wilson, he's been there multiple Super Bowls. And then they've got a unit that can take over a football game in that secondary, you know, that defense in a larger picture, but really that secondary in a smaller picture. Those, you put those three things together, a team like that is incredibly dangerous in the playoffs. So week 13 against Seattle in Seattle for Philadelphia in primetime, circle that game, baby. That's easily a top three game left this year, period.
Right.
And then that fight for the potential number one seed in the NFC, you know, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but that potential fight for the number one seed will be massive if Seattle's in it, because we know what CenturyLink Field does to people.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So what is your policy on wearing a jersey to like a home game of a player who's like been traded or walked in free agency or something like that? Like, how do you feel about that?
Oh, like a T.O. jersey at a home game?
I mean, like, yeah, like, you know, T.O.'s an example.
If I haven't burned it already, I mean, dude, yeah, of a traded player. I mean, unless it was like Brian Dawkins when he was still playing with the Broncos, I would do that. I would definitely do that. Or like Brian Westbrook with the Redskins, like I would still wear the Westbrook. They have to be like ingrained, and it has to be on good terms, and you know, it's going to be in a respectful. I would wear a Doran Bose, even though when he went to the Saints, I would still do that.
Right.
T.O., no.
DeSean Jackson.
No. God.
Jeremy Maclin.
No. Yeah.
LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
Here comes the kicker. Kevin Cobb.
Why?
Because one of the first Eagle games I ever went to at the Link, I saw it was right after the Kevin Cobb era. I saw like 85 Kevin Cobb jerseys, and I was like, I feel so bad for all you people. What were you doing buying Kevin Cobb jerseys?
Hey, at least now you can wear your Nick Foles jersey with pride, since he's since he came in with a lead and closed the game. That's a closer right there.
Absolutely.
That's a win.
That's a finisher. Now I've got my Jake Elliott jersey is still on the way after it was totally legally purchased from China.
Hey, shouldn't they just make his extra points off from, like, make them 50 yarders? Because I don't know what happened with them on the extra points.
I mean, they were misholds or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Would you trade your superior mental acuity to live financially secure for the rest of your life?
Wow. This is very existential. yeah. I figure, you know, what's being intelligent unless it serves a means? And obviously you don't want the main mean to be monetary gain, but it's the sense of, like, there's no value in being intelligent if I can't facilitate a happy and secure and stable lifestyle. And so if you're just telling me that's the finishing, you know, point, that I can just get that and, you know, I don't have to worry about, you know, the means, then yeah, I feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, you would just, like, become like an average Twitter user or Twitter egg, and that would be like your mental acuity. That's not bad. It's not bad.
That's a lifetime decision. That's not a game time decision. Oh, I gotta, like, sweat that one out. All right, so you know how people have, like, spirit animals?
Yeah.
What's your spirit NFL position?
My spirit NFL position would have to be running back. I mean, that's my favorite position to watch. Mm-hmm. That's what I played a lot of. When I played high school and, you know, football before that, we ran flex bone. So I guess, actually, okay.
The second best position of all time.
I'll bring it to a more granular level. A wing back in flex bone is my spirit animal. That's my favorite. Absolutely.
Your spirit animal is obsolete, Michael. I hate to admit it to you, but your spirit animal is gone.
You don't say that, Ben. Georgia Tech is still... whatever. All right. Would you ever wear sandals with no socks on a plane?
On a plane? No. I'm one of these guys who... If I know I'm going to ride on a plane, I like to dress up. Like, if you travel, you look nice. Like, that's an important thing to do. Absolutely. Now, Birkenstocks with no socks is kind of the move. That's very comfortable, and I'm a fan of that. And you'll see me make it to class like that more than a few times during the week. But I don't know. On a plane, I like to look nice.
I just hate the foot coming up to the side of your armrest, and you look down. It's just like, dude, it's so weird.
No, travel etiquette. There should be books. You should have to pass a class like when you're like 11. It's very important. All right, this is my last one. What's your biggest pet peeve?
Ooh.
And you're not allowed to say it's feet on your armrest on the plane, because we just talked about that.
When people say, huh?
Okay.
It's my big, I don't know why that is, other than people not, like, respecting my time or whatever it is, because I'm always trying to be, like, early for everything. Mm-hmm. And then they don't tell me and they don't show up, or they're late and they don't say anything. That bugs me. You're always great about that, by the way.
Thanks, Mike.
This isn't a subtweet about you. But when I say something and someone goes, huh? I don't know. If for some reason, they immediately, in my mind, if I was keeping, like, a chart of, like, what I thought their mental, like, their IQ was, it drops exponentially from that moment on.
Unreal. All right. No
ha ha is not a word.
That's H-U-H, right? Avoid H-U-H. Huh. I got you.
Huh? Yeah. It's just like a mouth fart that just, I don't know. It bugs me. Okay, we'll do a first on game time decisions. What's yours?
My biggest pet peeve? Poor grammar, probably. Mm. Oh, no. I was
got a lot of that on here.
I was raised by a grammar Nazi, and I'm, you know, self-proclaimed one as well. I probably don't do it very well on the podcast because it's kind of just stream of consciousness.
Right.
But when I speak, I try to, you know, avoid dangling participles, you know, don't split my infinitives, all that good stuff. And so I'll say sentences and people will just look at me like, man, what was that? And I'll be like, that's the way you're supposed to speak. But I think that kind of ostracizes me among my general community.
Nice. So that is it for Game Time Decisions. Been a blast. We're going to move real quick to Pick a Prospect. So Pick a Prospect is another segment we do where we talk about a prospect that the Eagles might be looking at from this next upcoming draft class. Ben, who have you looked at for the Eagles recently?
So I'm thinking safety depth right now is one of my big questions. Simply because you have, you know, Corey Graham, who was kind of brought in as a vet. Don't know how long he's going to be around. You know, obviously Chris Maragos is a little bit old as well. Sorry, Mike. And, you know, you've got Malcolm Jenkins. You got Jalen Watkins, who can kind of be both an either or. But it'd be very interesting if you could get a guy who I think can replicate a little bit of what Malcolm Jenkins does in the event that Jenkins gets injured. Or we know they've been willing to put him on the trade market in years past. I don't know if that's going to hold true anymore because of what he means to this defense and to this franchise now. But Eric Reed, who we just saw in San Francisco, has a younger brother in Stanford by the name of Justin Reed. And Justin Reed is good at football. I've been lucky to watch a couple Stanford games covering for NDT Scouting. And there's not a lot of talk about Reed right now, but he's one of the league leaders in interceptions. And he's got that nature to him where he just sees the field really well. They like to play him in the box, and they can also play him single high. They'll do that as well. He's got excellent anticipation. You can tell he's a film rat. There's at least two plays a game where he just runs the doggone route for the receiver. He's been called for pass interferences that he did not commit simply because he got there so early that the ref's like, yeah, this is PI. Meanwhile, it's just Justin Reed making a great play on the football. You know, the ref did not anticipate him doing that. Justin Reed, he's got the ball skills. He's got the range. I don't think that he'll be around that late, but no one's talking about him right now. So if he's going to continue to fly under the radar, then I think he's a great value pick, and he can be a guy who sits behind Jenkins and learns.
Yeah, I like it. We've done so many wide receivers, running backs, and offensive tackles that those later round picks are just as important. I'm going to go with one as well, and I know you're going to dispute me or begrudge me for this. I'm looking at a day three linebacker depth type guy. Jordan Hicks is consistently injured. We don't know the long-term situation with Michael Kendricks and with Nigel Bradham. So looking for depth later on in the draft, not as pressing of a need, but I like Josie Jewell. Out of Iowa.
Well, I mean, like, and, if it's day three, then it's fine. Just you have to recognize he's a day three prospect.
Yeah, but see, it's weird because when I texted you that, I said day three, and you were like, ugh. I'm like, dude, yeah, well, it's a day three.
I just read Josie Jewell, and it was my initial gut reaction. Okay? I don't know what you want from me.
I know you watched the Saquon Barkley versus Iowa game. Mm-hmm. I thought Josie Jewell, and I had issues with him when I watched him in the summer, of him not being able to take advantage of his mental processing as much. He wasn't as decisive. He didn't fire his gun enough for my liking. Mm-hmm. I think this year he's been much more disruptive, much more decisive, much more downhill. Look, this isn't a guy that's going to blow you away with his athletic profile. That's why he's a day three guy. Mm-hmm. As far as an assignment robot like Jordan Hicks was in college with a lesser athletic profile, I really like what Joel brings to the table. I think he's a hard worker. I think he is going to kill it at combine interviews, even if he doesn't do it in the drills itself. Yeah. He just seems like a guy, a hard-nosed guy, hard worker that you're going to want on your team. He brings the thump. Not great in pass coverage. That's never going to be a strength of his. But, I mean, as far as a depth piece, you want a smart guy that's not going to be out of place, that's going to be able to do the basic things for you. And I think Josie Jewell, even though going against Saquon Barkley, Saquon got him a few times, maybe more than a few times, but I think Jewell held up really well in that situation and performed admirably and blew up his fair share of plays too. So go watch that game. It's like 19 minutes on Draft Breakdown because Penn State ran a lot of plays, but Jewell was pretty much everywhere hustling on every play. So I really like his game.
He's Ben Bowler. He's a slightly mentally quicker upgraded Ben Bowler.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an upgraded Ben Bowler. Ben Bowler isn't the most exciting athlete either. And Ben's going to poo-poo guys, but, you know, I really like blue-collar guys, you know.
I respect it.
Like guys like Joe Walker, you know what I mean? It's kind of like the same kind of athletic profile there, and I really like his mental capacity. So, a little depth pick. I'm going to get with a more exciting linebacker prospect next time around, maybe a Sky Moore or something like that, like we talked about. So, okay. That's it for today, Ben. Let the gentle listeners know what we have on tap for the rest of the week.
Well, a happy Halloween, everybody. I hope you're enjoying your holiday. Of course, keep it locked on LockedOnEagles.com. Well, we have the All-22 film is coming out for San Francisco, which means a couple more pieces will be dropping for you guys, so make sure you're checking it out there. Cody Rourke, Locked On Broncos crossover should be coming at you guys tomorrow. Get you guys ready for the matchup with Denver. And then we're previewing through the rest of the week, getting into that bye week 8-1.
Keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.